Sanders, Ms. Kieran. Morning, Mr. Sanders. Would you care to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I'd like to reserve 2 minutes.
All right, and we'll be happy to hear from you. You're ready to go.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Todd Sanders, and I represent Austin Callahan in this appeal.
Mr. Sanders, may I ask you at the outset, because I don't want to interrupt you as you get started, what your support is for the assertion that possession of illegal fireworks is a lesser-included offense of possession of an explosive device?
Well, I believe that's a question of first impression now in Virginia, because I don't find any authority in Virginia that would say when the exception is an illegal act that it would be lesser included, but this may be the only statute in Virginia where the exception is also an illegal act.
But analytically, how do you get there? We've got a lot of case law that says the test for what's a lesser included offense or not is the Brandenburg test.
It is, and I understand that when you take away the elements and do you have any elements that are left, but in this particular case, the jury, and they were instructed, are given all of the elements as an exception to the actual offense, the felony offense. They're given those in the instruction itself, and the jury's then left with two options, guilty of the felony or not guilty of anything. And I believe when the jury is instructed, and as they were in this case, of all of those elements, and I call them elements because I believe that clearly, under the Loudoun County Code, the locality that enacted the statute that tracks really almost verbatim the exception, that the jury should be instructed at a minimum that he could be found guilty of that particular offense because they are instructed on that offense. They are given those elements. And when they're left in this particular case with a prosecutor holding up at the end of the case what appear to be, we have to admit, appear to be pipe bombs, if they were used to cause damage, of course they weren't in this case, or not guilty.
Whether it causes damage or not doesn't change what it is, does it?
Well,
it may change the impact, it may change any number of things, but does it change the actual substance of what the thing is?
It doesn't, except a pipe bomb, by definition, is made to destroy something, to cause particular damage. In this case, it was my argument throughout the trial. The trial court disagreed that just because it was manufactured this way, the intent, I submit clearly, was to show off in front of friends, a teenager, a young adult, a device, for lack of a better term, that was made from prepackaged fireworks, placed in a more condensed package. And his statements were he thought it was just going to go off like a powerful fountain, but it did blow up. And he did it in a setting where you would expect somebody who wants to light off a firework would do that. And when that happens, I would submit that that defendant should be given the opportunity and the jury given the opportunity to find the person guilty of the lesser offense.
Well, here's my problem. You suggest there's a lesser offense, but the record doesn't indicate any ordinance or statute that actually lays out that lesser offense.
Well,
doesn't it have to be an offense for it to be a lesser offense?
Well, it does, Your Honor, but the court can take judicial notice of the laws of Commonwealth. The Loudoun County Code clearly, I'd submit, at section 1602.11-3310.1, and frankly,
the court can take judicial notice of a lot of things, but usually you have to ask it to. And again, if you're going to instruct a fact finder jury on what alternative verdicts they can come to in the way of lesser offenses, seems to me a basic tenet of that is you have to identify what law is being violated if they come to the conclusion that a set of facts applies.
Yeah, I believe I'm not going to be able to find it at this particular moment. There was a moment in the trial where the statutes that the county code was handed up to the judge, and the judge was alerted that this instruction was going to be asked for. I'm sorry, they don't have that off the top of my head. I wasn't anticipating that particular question, but I still believe that the court, it's the court's purview to know the law, and that there is a law, there is a statute, an ordinance that does specifically address a firework that is made of any material, of any kind, that is used with the intent or commonly known as a firework that rises in the air, shoots laterally, or explodes. And they were clear about.
Well, nobody's raised it, and so the court never ruled on it. But I mean, this the definition of the the elements of the crime are fairly clear. But there's an exception, and the exception is for fireworks. And the definition of fireworks seems to me to be fairly circular. But nobody raises that. So it seems to me a lot of what you're arguing may have had merit if someone had ever called into question the specificity of the definition of a firework.
Well, I believe I did, Your Honor, and if I didn't, I'll have to go back through the record again, but nonetheless, we're here today to argue the points that have been raised. I understand the record will speak for itself. I would like to address really the main assignment of error, Your Honor, that really this never should have gone to the jury on this particular charge. The judge should have stricken the case at the motion to strike based on the Commonwealth's evidence, even the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, and certainly at the end of the case, because the definition of the firework is so all-encompassing and broad that when somebody makes something that they're going to show to even blow up, to have a loud explosion for their friends, it would fall under this statute, and no reasonable fact finder should be.
That's a great argument, because you're making it for the first time on appeal.
Well, yeah, I did make it at the motion to strike, but what happened is the Commonwealth said, well, first of all, I asked for the lesser to strike it down to the.
Well, a motion to strike requires is analytically different from what I think we're talking about now. A motion to strike suggests that taking the evidence in the light most favorable to the party with the burden of proof, has a prima facie case been made out? In other words, is there some evidence of all the elements of the offense?
Yeah.
What I hear you arguing now, maybe I'm misunderstanding you, and if so, please correct me, but what I hear you arguing now is that the definition of fireworks, the exception, is so broad, one cannot reasonably be on notice as to what is being prohibited and what's being permitted. And that might be a fair argument, but that's not made in the context of a sufficiency argument. That would be made on the context of attacking the constitutional vagueness of the statute.
Well, I agree with that, except that the motion to strike, I raised that the first point I made was that at most it could only be the lesser, what I was calling the lesser included offense. The Commonwealth stood up and said, no, we don't believe it's lesser included. And then I took the position with the court, if that's their position, don't believe they can have both ways, then the whole case should be stricken, because the exception that is laid out, which is what the jury would consider, is what the court would have to consider at the motion to strike. The court would still have to consider the exception at the motion to strike.
To agree with you, do we have to conclude that if something began as a firework, that it always remains a firework? Or if I drill holes in it, get all the black powder out, put ball bearings, put it in a pipe, put caps on it, and blow it up? I know that's not this case, but let's assume that's the case. Is that still a firework, or is that a pipe bomb?
No, I believe that you can make, I believe you can make an explosive device out of firework material. I'm not here to argue that you can't. Obviously, you can package enough fireworks together and have the intent to have it be an explosive device.
And didn't the jury conclude that that's what happened here?
Well, they did, after a long deliberation and not given the option. It was either all or nothing for them. And I, in this particular case, when they see this, what they see is device, and they call it a pipe bomb, and so-called expert was called, who said, I'm not going to call it a pipe bomb, but I'm going to tell you exactly what a pipe bomb is and all the characteristics, and this one walks and talks and quacks like a pipe bomb, that really leaves any fact finder with the position, well, we can't say this isn't illegal. We can't allow somebody to have this, not knowing. They don't know. The jury was never instructed.
That's my point. It's a great constitutional argument to make that the statute is so written that you just don't, a reasonable person can't tell what is being prohibited and what is being permitted. Fireworks are permitted, but what's a firework? Well, if the definition of a firework is we know it when we see it, well, that's a problem, or at least arguably a constitutional problem, but none of that has ever been raised.
Well, and I guess it wasn't raised because, in my opinion, the definition of the firework actually was clear, was so clear and all-encompassing that really it subsumes the statute if evidence that the... I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say that argument basically means that the trial court erred by not accepting the fact that the exception, in essence, repealed the statute to make it functionally repealed it to make it non-effective.
Well, the exception in this particular case makes it so that the issue should not even be presented to the jury, because in this, so suppose, for example, somebody bought regular fireworks that would, in South Carolina, that would go up in the air and explode. There was a time when the Virginia Code actually said that the exception here is illegal. They left it up to localities later. It was repealed. And then the Commonwealth elected, well, you lit off something that exploded, and we're going to call that an explosive device. And they put on their evidence of that, and the person takes it out to the 12th tee box at a local golf course and says, eight friends, come and watch. And he lights off a firework that goes up, or doesn't go up, but explodes on the ground, and say, now you're charged with this.
Well, counsel, let me interrupt you. As I understood, your client took the position he was trying to make, or at least his position or his testimony was, he was trying to make a fountain-type firework.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I'm not hardly an expert on fireworks, but my experience with fireworks is those fountain type things, or those things that shoot the streamers up in the air, and they, you know, different pretty colors and all that. How do you accomplish that by sealing both ends?
Well,
you know, you don't have a fountain, you have now a metal container in which, you know, an explosion is going to take place, and one of two things is going to happen. The metal is going to be strong enough to contain the explosion, or it's not, in which case you've now got shrapnel flying all over the place.
Well, and I understand that, and the point I'm trying to make is that is the statement he made to the law enforcement. They took the position that you knew this was going to explode or go boom. And
kind of basic physics. If you seal both ends, there's no place for the pressure to go.
I think the hole was big enough it might shoot out and be bright. But assuming, for the sake of argument, that...
Which we do, don't we?
Absolutely. That he knew this was going to explode and go boom, as opposed to... maybe minimizing with the law enforcement during the interview, going boom is still a firework. It's under the definition. It's
so our
still
artillery shell goes boom, and it's not a firework.
But it's how it's intended to be used. It's just like my previous example. The person's intending something to go boom to be the firework.
But is the fact finder required to disregard your client's testimony as to his intent? In other words, would it be a fair role for a fact finder to take to say, okay, I hear you say your intent was X. I don't believe you, given the fact that both these ends are sealed. You know, what you actually did, your actions, not regarding what you say you intended, your actions constituted making something that was clearly designed not to be a firework. Is that a fair role for a fact finder to take in a case like this?
They could reject that. But if that was the only evidence in this case, I asked
if you add into it as well text messages that are admitted where one person is saying, make a bomb before you guys leave, and your client says, I can do that, and later text messages talking about want to go boom tonight at 9 o'clock.
Correct.
You add all those in for the fact finder, and doesn't that then lead to a reasonable inference as to your client's intent to make an explosive device?
But it makes something that could go boom or blow up, like, or a bomb, like a cherry bomb. There are fireworks called cherry bombs. There are fireworks that just explode. There are the fireworks that commercially they shoot up in the air. Some have lights, and then you'll sit there and feel the concussion of just the boom. And the statute says or. It's not and.
So how is that not enough to get it to a jury, to let a jury decide what someone's intent was?
Because the other circumstances of the case, the fact that this is done where he's asking his friends to come watch, that they stand by like people do when they watch fireworks, that he's not trying to damage anything. And I realize the statute doesn't say he has to.
Well, and those are reasons that a jury could find that intent, but I don't think they necessarily do. The jury was, you argued the fireworks exception throughout your case, correct?
Correct.
So the jury was aware of it?
Correct.
Well, then don't we have to conclude that the jury determined that this wasn't a firework?
Well,
wouldn't that destroy the lesser included offense possibility?
Well, like any lesser included, if you don't give it, and then the jury's left with one option or the other, and they find the person guilty,
but they knew they were supposed to acquit if they found it to be a firework. correct?
They did.
And so doesn't that mean they explicitly, they had to necessarily find that it wasn't a firework?
I don't believe so in this case. I think that because of the way this was presented as a pipe bomb, that the jury really was left with no choice, I guess, in their mind that we have to find them guilty of something. We cannot say this is not a crime. They weren't given the chance to, just like if there's a hit-and-run accident where there's some injury and they're never told, well, there's a lesser included if the person didn't know there was an injury, and they might say, well, he clearly left the scene of an accident. We can't say he's not guilty, and therefore we must find him guilty. I believe the jury needs to be given the option of the lesser included if there's evidence to support it.
Well, the jury did have an option here. If they didn't find that he intended to make a bomb or create an explosive device, they can acquit him.
But that would, I mean, that would be the case in every case where there's not a lesser included. They still could say, well, you didn't meet, you know, prove all the elements of the underlying offense or the major offense, and therefore you must acquit. But then they find him guilty, and the court will say, well, you know what, there's still a lesser included should have been provided. And in this case, there was the statute in and of itself is a crime. And it's the same, you know, it's the same thing. What if, you know, whoever would light off the fireworks at the River Creek Country Club or the Washington Mall were to come and light off one of these devices on the field there, they would be at most guilty of the fireworks exception. And I believe the evidence was overwhelming and that it never should have gotten to the jury.
Counsel, you use all your time, but our questions caused you to use up your rebuttal, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, Your Honors. Elizabeth Kiernan on behalf of the Commonwealth. I think the court has touched on the issues in this case. First, the issue of the record being sufficient to resolve the court's constitutional issue. I don't think the trial court perceived this as an issue of the statute being overbroad or void for vagueness, and I certainly didn't catch that impression from counsel's brief in this matter. However, to the extent not raised below, as the court knows, it's not an appropriate basis for reversal in this case. Furthermore, Your Honor, looking at the code section, the definition of fireworks has an intent element. The fireworks portion of that is very broad. However, it continues, and is intended or commonly known as fireworks, etc. And the intent element is what's at issue here, and the jury was able to find as a factual matter that this device was intended to be a firework, counsel's arguments to the contrary notwithstanding. The jury was instructed on what a firework was and that a firework was an exception to this rule, and as Judge Russell pointed out, they declined to apply that exception in this case. Whatever misdemeanor we're talking about here, I heard a 16.2 code section mentioned. I had assumed that counsel was talking about 3310 of the Loudoun County Fire Code. I think that points again to a lack of clarity in the record with regard to a lesser included offense. But if we're talking about these offenses, it has to be that in every case, a conviction for the greater offense would necessarily and invariably, and that's this court's language from Crump, lead to a conviction on the lesser. And under 18285, you can be convicted for possessing and using a hoax device, which would not lead to a conviction under any kind of misdemeanor possession of fireworks or an explosive device. So possession of explosive device and possession of fireworks are not lesser and greater included offenses of the other, and an instruction on that wouldn't be appropriate in this case. Again, the issue of intent went to the jury, and the jury was certainly well within its purview as the fact finder. The issue was not plainly wrong.
Do you agree with me that as far as lesser included offenses are concerned, that the only test in Virginia for what a lesser included offense is the Blockberger test?
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe that's been met in this case. If the court has particular questions, I'm happy to address them.
Apparently not.
Thank you, Your Honors.
All right, counsel.
Thank you. I'll kind of leave where I started off. I believe this is a case of first impression because the exception is an actual crime, and I can't find that anywhere else in the statute. And I think it's an important distinction. When the legislature has said that we have an exception to a particular crime, Usually it would be an exception, but you're not guilty of anything else. But this exception, you are guilty of another offense. And they state all of it. So to say, well, it's not particularly lesser included on the Blockberger test, I would submit in this case is not relevant when they've made it a separate crime.
You're making an argument essentially saying that we have discretion to kind of depart from Blockberger. And you've made a lot of arguments about discretion from charging to discretion at the trial court level. Our discretion is very limited. It may be a sad case. It may be a case that if we were in a different job, if any of us were in a different job along the line, we're not here, but we're here with this. What is your best argument that the fireworks ordinance is a lesser included offense using Blockberger? And if the answer is you can't get there under Blockberger, I'll accept that as your answer and consider your other argument.
Well, even though when you look at the finding instruction here, they don't include the language of this exception in there, it still could have been put in the finding instruction, and therefore it's not an element that has to be proved. But if these elements are established by the facts of the case, then they must find the person not guilty. They just included it in the middle of the statute.
The problem is, analytically, we're getting into, you know, issues of asking juries to find people guilty of things they were never charged with. I mean, the theory of a lesser-included offense is because it's subsumed in the greater offense, it simply subtracts one or more elements. The indictment or the charging document puts them on notice of what they have to defend. When you're asking a fact finder to convict them of something that was never part of any charge that was ever considered by a grand jury or charging official, you arguably at least haven't given them any notice of what their defense ought to be. Now, I understand in this particular case, your defense is that there's, you know, this other charge out there that should have been brought, but the analytically, it seems to me the result there should have been dismiss altogether because they brought the wrong charge, instead of saying find them guilty of a charge that has never been part of the charging process.
I hope my record shows clearly that I did make that argument. But the legislature, this is what the legislature did this, and they've made it so we now have to decide how to interpret this. And they have decided, and when you're indicted, you're given the code section, and there's obviously language in the body of the indictment that won't include all of this, but the code section is there, and a defendant has a right to look at that and understand it and read through the entire statute. And the legislature decided to make the exception a crime. And when they do that in this particular case, I submit that in this case it should have been stricken altogether, but at a minimum, stricken down to that charge.
Do you think that there are violations of the explosive device statute that would not be violations of the fireworks ordinance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come down and brief counsel.